You've got questions? We've got answers. It's Bible Line Mailbag. Hey guys, welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and today we're doing Bible Line Mailbag. So this is kind of rapid fire response to emails that you've sent in. Let's start with a gentleman whose name is Mark. Mark writes to Bible Line, "Watched your video reply to the lengthy letter about being saved. I believe Paul's gospel. I was born and raised hardcore kneeling Catholic in Detroit. One day, Holy Spirit told me to walk away. Started opening my eyes to idol worship, Pope, pagan festivals, etc. But even though I prayed to Mary, confessed sins to a man, kissed statue of Saint whoever in the lobby, I still believe Jesus was the Christ. I still believe he died, was buried, and rose again for my sins. Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, Lutherans, Christians, etc. all believe this. All saved? At what point does belief in the gospel get overshadowed by sinful works?" That's the reason why I wanted to respond to this. That's a really good question. He goes on, it has to, meaning at some point the gospel has to get overshadowed by sinful works. He goes on, "You can't believe in Christ Jesus and sacrifice babies in his name." You know, so, you know, that we need to address that. So I know there is more some departure point, but the Bible does not say this at all. Sacrificing babies, murder, is no less a sin than praying to statue of Mary, idol worship. What's your take? I'd love to hear it. Thank you, Mark. Well, Mark, thanks for sending your question. So here's where, again, the eternal security doctrine gets, you know, it gets attacked all the time. When you hear eternal security, you hear once saved, always saved. And that's what the Bible teaches. You read John chapter 11 when Jesus is talking to Martha. "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this?" And she says, "Yea, Lord, I believe." Okay, so we're going to see our sister Martha in heaven. Regardless of how she may have finished her life, that's not the discussion. She has her sin paid for. But what people hear on the lordship salvation, Arminian salvation, the free will Baptist, you can lose your salvation side of it, is they hear, "You're saying that a person's sin won't separate them from God after they've trusted in Jesus Christ. So you must mean that's an encouragement to live in sin." That's not a good connection. That's a categorical mistake. You can't say that because a person can live sinfully and still be saved because they put their trust in Jesus Christ, that they should live sinfully. Nobody, I've never said that. I'm not going to stand for other men here. I'll stand for what I know to be true. I never teach people to go sin it up because where sin abounds, grace does abound much more. God forbid, Paul says. But his question is really good. So I wanted to say that part because he was talking about sacrificing babies is no different than a statue, you know, idol worship of Mary, which I would believe is true. But, you know, if a woman gets an abortion, right, and she trusts Jesus Christ as her Savior, she's put her trust in him to pay for the payment of, to make the payment for all her sins. She believes that, you know, all the Bible says is required for her to receive eternal life. And then down the line, she goes and gets an abortion again. Are we saying that her abortion after her salvation disqualifies her from justification, which the Bible says happened immediately? Does that disqualify her from the sealing of the Holy Spirit, which is the witness of eternal life, according to 1 John 5? Does any of that change? You have to show me where that is in the Bible, and I don't see where it is. She is falling away from the faith. She is not suffering for righteousness' sake. She's going to face discipline from the Lord. But to say she's lost, if she put her trust in Jesus Christ, she's saved. She's just finishing poorly, you know? So there's that. But his main question is, if Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, Lutherans all believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again to pay for their sin, then at what point, you know, are they saved if they continue into the other things of their religion that are not true? This is what I wrote back to him. So I'm just going to read this to you. I said, "Hey, Mark, great question. I'd have to say, quote, 'The Lord knoweth them that are his,' 2 Timothy 2:19. We're going to read that whole verse here. It says, 'Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, this is right in the middle of a discussion that Paul is having with Timothy, starts in verse 14. Of these things put in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. That word subverting is catastrophe. So Paul's saying, don't just debate words that don't have any profit. Teach proper doctrine. You don't want to catastrophically destroy the people that are hearing you. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And then there's an example in verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. So we've got these guys here, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. That's their error. And they overthrow the faith of some. So some people would now be looking at Hymenaeus and Philetus and say, well, were they really saved? And I think that's why verse 19 is there. The foundation of God standeth sure. Nevertheless, regardless of their falling away, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Timothy knoweth them that are his. That's not what it says. I, Paul, knows them that are his. No, the Lord knoweth them that are his. So if a person's a Baptist or a Catholic or a Lutheran or a Methodist, and they put their trust in Jesus Christ, as the Bible says is required for eternal life, I believe they're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Can they deceive me by saying they believe and they don't? Yeah, absolutely. There were people in John's ministry in 1 John chapter 2 that they went out from us, but they were not of us. So at some point, they were exposed to be who they really were. And I'll go on in my response here. I said, it's really difficult to know what people believe. They might say all the right things, but is this something that they believe? I've come to find that people really don't believe much. They just repeat what they've heard from people they think are experts. I've made the decision to make the gospel clear. The question I've asked is this: is there any sin you could commit from now until the day of your death that would disqualify you from heaven? Usually people say that there is something they could do that could disqualify them from heaven. I go over the full covering for sin available in Jesus, how God has already accepted that payment. I continue sharing that God put Jesus' payment to their sin debt and never brings it up again. This makes salvation and eternal life unified and clear in their minds. And then I said that I was hanging out with my daughter at the time because I thought it was a good question. I wanted to give him an answer. But to wrap up this mailbag question here, I think our responsibility is to make the gospel clear. I don't know really what people believe. They can tell me something and they mean something different. All I can do is let the word of God stand sure. And the Holy Spirit's behind his word. And so I'm just going to make the gospel clear. And I've led people to Christ where I'm convinced that they believe what they said they believe. I've talked to other people and I'm not sure. But it's not my job necessarily to count the number of people I've led to Christ and say, I know for sure. I'm not going to present them before the Father and say, they're saved. I verified it. The Lord is going to present them. You know, it's his church. And there's going to be people who did all the works. And Jesus is going to say, I don't even know who you are. Depart from me. So I think the responsibility is, instead of trying to figure out what's the limit, just make the gospel clear and ask questions that demand an answer. You know, that question, I'll repeat it again. Is there any sin you could commit from now until the day of your death that would disqualify you from heaven? That will reveal a lot of what people are trusting in for their salvation. Because if they say, yes, if I do X, Y, and Z, well, then they're telling you there is something that I have to continually avoid doing so that I can get to heaven. Well, you're not trusting in Christ. You're trusting in your performance. And they may have been saved in the past. You don't know that. I don't know that. So we make the gospel clear. Capiche? I think that's a good way to go. All right, so here's another one here. Don't forget to like, comment, and share this video so that we can get exposure all on this site here, YouTube. Make sure that you subscribe. There's a little red button there. Hit that subscribe button. Turn the notification bell on to all so you get notified every time that we go live. And if you have a question or a video you'd like us to react to or something that you're struggling with in your spiritual growth, email us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Let's get back to today's mailbag. Hi, this is from Dustin. Hello, Dustin. Hi, I was listening to Yankee Arnold and trusted the Lord after listening. That's pretty cool. I left a comment on the video and he replied with a nice comment and recommended I check out your video as well. My question is, what study Bible would you recommend for a new believer? I enjoy your videos and hope to hear from you. Thanks. Well, I did reply to Dustin, and I'll give him another reply here. I like to use the Old Scofield Reference Bible, and, you know, not necessarily because of the notes, but I like the cross-references. So whenever you look at a study Bible, that center column and the bottom column where there's all those notes and stuff, that's not inspired word of God. That is somebody's work where they say, okay, this word here, it has a connection. It starts here in Genesis. It ends here in Revelation, and here's all the things in between. So let's say you're in John 3, and you look at the word believe, and there's a little letter there. Usually, like in a Scofield Bible, you'll see the first mention of the word back in the Old Testament, and then you're going to go there. There'll be another small letter. You go back to the cross-reference. It'll tell you the next one, and you can trace the line all the way through. I'm not saying study Bibles are obsolete, but if you have a digital Bible like eSword, you can do a lot of that work without the page turning. I suggest you do whichever one is comfortable for you, but there's coming a day where you're not going to have access to digital stuff. That's just my personal belief. So get familiar with your Bible in the paper format, and then there's coming a day even further than that where that's going to be a problem. So memorize the word. That's ultimately what I think is important. But I suggest that. I don't really advocate for all of his notes. He does a good job explaining dispensationalism. He does a good job explaining the separation between salvation and service, but he messes up on some things. But I like that one. And in our church, and you know, just as a reminder, I am a pastor here. We've got a lot of work that we do here at the church. In our church, we have the Old Scofield Reference Bible, and I've been in the habit of calling out the page number, and I like that because if there's a new person, they don't have a Bible, they can just pick up a Bible in front of them. Instead of knowing all the books of the Bible, they can just go to the page number. But that's the Bible that I would recommend, the Old Scofield Reference Bible, not the new one. There's like three. There's like a Scofield 2, Scofield 3, and then the Old Scofield. Get the Old Scofield one. And I sent you an email, so you should have an Amazon link, and maybe we'll put it in the description. All right, last one for the mailbag is from a gentleman named Cash. He writes, "When I first started looking for help in reading the Bible, understanding Scripture, etc., I started watching Grace to You, John MacArthur, and Desiring God, John Piper, not for any particular reason." Well, I'll tell you what the reason is. They got the money, they got the ads, they got the radio stuff. I mean, locally, WTBN, those guys are on all the time. Yankee was sandwiched in between Grace to You and I think Desiring God for many, many years, which is, I think, funny. But anyway, I just happened to watch one or two videos that popped up of them, and the algorithm just kept feeding me their videos. I didn't know any better and quite honestly thought all Christian preachers would have the correct teachings. I was immediately crippled with fear and sadness and doubt. I continued to go down, 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 and thought I'd never recover. Tulip, election, life changes, etc. had me in a very dark place. I have gotten my feet back under me lately because of your ministry and a couple others who preach a clear gospel. My question is this. Is anything that a Calvinist / Lordship Salvation / Reformed pastor says worth listening to? Even the famous ones I mentioned, which were J-Mac and JP. Why do they teach the way they do and understand things the way they do? I worry about them. Should I bother with any sermons, guidance, biblical teaching that they or like-minded preachers offer? So the short answer is no, I wouldn't. The more complicated answer is it's still no, and here's why. And I want to say this with, you know, seasoned with salt and all of that, but I'm compelled to tell the truth, so I'm going to tell the truth, and I want to do that. God's not twisting my arm to speak the truth here. A large majority of Calvinist Lordship Salvation Reformed pastors are not honest in their presentation of the word. And what I mean by that is they have not done a lot of their own study. J-Mac, John Piper, and Sproul, they are the three heads of a lot of church doctrine today. For example, I think you have three type of churches in America here. You have the religious denominational churches like Methodists, Lutherans, all that, Catholics and all that. Then you have the mega church. Then you have the conservative churches, not politically, but they're biblically conservative. But inside the biblically conservative churches, you've got a large portion of those are Reformed. And they preach the Bible and they tell you they preach the Bible. We're not here to do the mega church stuff. We're not here to do blind rituals and religions of orthodoxy and all that, Catholic Church and all that. we're here to teach the word. But then you come to find out a lot of what they teach is just the writings of J-Mac, JP, and R.C. Sproul. And I don't think that's a coincidence, because those guys are leading. And John Piper probably has fallen off a little bit. I see that by people's response on the internet. And he's just like, that guy's swimming in the deep end of a different pool. But he's kind of like gone away. But R.C. Sproul's been passed away for a long time now. And he's still on the radio here in Tampa. And this is a huge market here in Tampa. It's like 3.8 million people would be listening on WTBN on the AM side alone. I hear him on Moody, all sorts of stuff. And so you come to say, like, okay, well, are we going to throw the baby out with the bathwater by saying everything Calvinist, Lordship, Salvation, Reformed is bad? You could. They could be teaching great Christian life stuff. I've read some stuff by John MacArthur. I'm like, yeah, that's biblical. But the problem is they don't have the gospel right. So if I'm talking to a young believer or someone, Cash, like yourself, who's just coming out of all this, I say mark and avoid and just read the scripture, brother. That's it. Like, read the scripture, do all that to the point where you're confident in what the word says. And then if you, at that point, I wouldn't even suggest it. My thing is this: if you're finding a lot of your study being done by other people, you need to start doing your own study. And that doesn't mean you come to different conclusions. Sometimes people think, well, I'm going to do my own study, so I have to be unique. The word of God is unique to itself. You don't have to try and give a new flavor of everything. Just study the word. And what does the word say? And then you write down questions and you ask people who have demonstrated accurate biblical interpretation. I don't think J-Mac, JP, and R.C. Sproul have done that. And I've seen a lot of Reformed, Lordship, Salvation pastors who have not done that well. So my thing is mark and avoid them. So just to repeat, are they even worth listening to? I would say net value is negative. I don't think they're worth listening to. Why do they teach the way that they do? Because this is the Reformed boat. Get in, and we're going forward. That's what it is. And there is alienation that the people suffer from, and it's like vicious. There's a whole like 9 points or 9 marks church thing, and people. That's a whole nother thing for a whole nother day. And you say you worry about them. I understand that, but pray for them. Pray for them and then reach the people in your community. Should I bother with any sermons, guidance, biblical teaching that they or like-minded preachers offer? I would say, again, net value, no. But they do get things right. Use discernment. In your situation, I would stick to the Bible. You know, stick to the Bible. Learn that. Get good on that. And then as you're growing and learning and you hear from other people, you know, that's fine. For myself and people that are on my level, and again, I'm not saying I'm higher than anybody else, but I've been studying the Bible in a serious academic sense since 2013. When I went to college until 2017, then became an assistant pastor, and now I'm in the pastorate. I mean, I consume the Word of God and commentaries and all of that. But there's a lot of stuff that I read knowing that they're false. And what I'm trying to do is, what kind of route is the devil taking to deceive people? But that's because my responsibility is to shepherd a church. So I want to make sure people know what's being said and that they can rightly divide the word of truth. For a baby Christian, I'm not going to throw all that deception in there and say, figure it out. And Hebrews 5 is a great example of that. You ought to be teachers, but you're dull of hearing. You should be somewhere else, but I have to reteach you these things. So anyway, take that for what it is. Great mailbag. We look forward to this. Love your responses, by the way. Everybody in the comments is like, yeah, this is great. That's good. We like to hear that. If you have a question, send it to us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ certainly is coming soon. God bless. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.